you're listening to the Stronger Stride podcast
with your hosts, Lydia Mackay and Sophie Lane.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Stronger Stride podcast.
On a beautiful spring day.
It is, isn't it nice to have a bit of warmth?
Yeah, I just wanted to get that in there. I had to say that really quickly because I feel like sometimes Sophie just get carried away with the intro.
I get carried away. Have you heard yourself? Have you listened to any of these?
Occasionally, on occasion.
Yeah.
But it is important to note that it is spring and it is coming into my favorite time to run, which is in the heat, in the summer. I'm so excited.
Yes, it is important to inform our listeners of the changes of the season, in case they weren't aware. For our international guests, they might be in a different
season. That's true. All that international
all
guests.
Those less than 1%ers in all those countries that I just don't think. Surely they just accidentally clicked it and then went, I don't know this language. Or
oh no. They looked us up. We are global.
We're in demand across the world.
Across the world.
But anyway, another episode. We're back again. Surprise.
Yeah,
you thought you'd seen enough or heard enough, but
that's it. 2 weeks
here
and
to
bam,
stay. We're
in
back.
Your ears.
We are.
What's your week been like, Soph? Your last 2 weeks.
Okay, look, can we once again? You've asked me how my week's been, but yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a year now. It's always 2 weeks.
True, almost,
roughly, give or
roughly.
Take.
Yeah.
But
tell us updates on the injuries.
Yeah.
Has it been
progress?
A few things going on.
You're right. Okay, so the last time we spoke, I was becoming the 4K specialist.
Mm. And you were really getting into your cycling.
I went for one bike ride, yeah. And I went for swim. So I was really branching out. But since then, I've moved up the ranks in terms of distance.
Mm.
I have, in fact, completed 1, 2, 3, or 4 10K runs since then.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
You can really tell that you pay for your Strava because it's just all really nice. And
well, no, I don't.
Oh, no.
Well, look, so I signed up for the 3 months free and then I forgot to stop before the 3 months and then I automatically got charged for the year. But my year's expired, so I'm back to the like.
Shit, whole year.
The poor person's
situation. Yes.
Yeah, it's been a while. So I'm just trying to remember back. But yes, I've done a few longer runs and it was really good. Basically, there's a few things going on. We've got the solution, but I just had a day without the solution, basically just strapping tape. How crazy is that? That's the solution. Plus one extra inner sole and one shoe. At work.
For the interim though, it's not necessarily.
You're right. Yes. It is not a permanent thing. It is just to offload the tissues that are copping all the load for a little while to let them settle down, let the inflammation heal, and then rebuild the strength, correct some biomechanics, fix up some imbalances, and then wean off those other things. I mean, sorry, the inner sole is going to stay.
Wean off all those.
Because my leg is not going to get any longer. I've got 10 mils and I'm not going to grow on one leg or shrink on one. So that extra inner sole is going to stay, but that's just simply a height thing. So yes, we've got strategies in place. I tested it out without the strategy. It didn't work. So kind of confirmed that is the solution. So yes, going well, back on track, back to double digits, which is nice.
We'd
love to be running further, but 10Ks/an hour if I'm in the trails seems to be about the limit at the moment. But I'm just going to gradually push that boundary. I did like 43Ks last week total, I think.
Oh nice.
Which is all right. So it's slowly coming together.
I mean, that's decent. That's like that's quite a bit of running, especially when a lot of those runs are less than 10Ks.
Yeah,
or a few.
Frequency's been up because duration has been decreased.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about yourself? Tell us. Inform us about your fortnight.
Well, I've been in lockdown and I've been enjoying it a little bit. Like I shouldn't say that.
Don't say that to the Sydney listeners.
No, I'm so sorry. I've enjoyed. Can we cut that?
Can we cut that? I'm gonna lose all our Sydney fans.
Okay. So the last 2 weeks have been pretty good. So I think last time we chatted, I had a bit of a calf situation. So I had a bit of a deload week. And look, I didn't tell the whole truth. Truth is, I actually hurt my knee, which is going to be a bit more of a long-term recovery. So I'm not going to delve into that just yet because part of me doesn't want to at the moment. But yeah, basically, sorry.
Are you not wanting to go into it because you're not wanting it to be a thing?
Yes.
By discussing it, you're saying it's an actual thing. By brushing it off, it's just not even, it's not there. Okay, so you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But basically, I'm avoiding some downhill stuff at the moment and avoiding a lot of the really steep trails. So I've still been doing a few trails, which is really nice. I've probably still gotten out, I think, 2 or 3 times in the last fortnight about, but kind of just doing a bit more like gravelly sort of fire trail stuff, which is actually really nice. And I think it's actually kind of nice to change up a bit because there was a period there where like a lot of my trail runs on the weekend, you'd get to some sections which would just be so steep that you'd end up just like hiking, aka walking for our road runners. Yes, we actually just go for long walks in the bush. It kind of just gets a little bit frustrating because you're like, you finally get on a roll and then you get to this like really steep bit and you sort of like almost lose all of your speed. So it's actually been nice to do some runs where like it's actually like proper like up and down, but not so steep that you have to like completely stop. So that's been really nice. Run to some waterfalls. Bindari National Park has had a feature. So for anyone who lives in the Coffs Harbour area, you'll know how lovely, is it Bangalore or Bangalore? I think it's Bangalore Falls. So nice, so lovely. And I've been swimming a lot more as well, because I think with the lockdown, because I haven't sort of got my usual group runs that I do on a Tuesday, Thursday, I can sort of switch that timing just a little bit. So I'm sort of like running a little bit later, and because the sun's been getting up earlier, which is so exciting. It's so nice. Like I'll do my sort of strength stuff like a little bit earlier, and then I'll get in the ocean for sunrise, which is so nice. And then I'll go for my run after. Although every day is a little bit different, but it's just been so nice. And I've just really been appreciating being outside, I guess, a bit more. Even though I'm outside a lot, but I guess it's really just not the gym, right? But yeah, just been swimming a bit more, which has been really nice.
Nice.
Gosh, is this going to turn into a swimming podcast?
Look, talking about another thing that you don't want to talk about because you make it a thing, Lydia, for a few years now, has always said, post-uni.
Oh, no, here we go.
Triathlon/Ironman, and you bought that bike however long ago, and you always said, once uni's over.
I know.
And I know you're not quite finished uni, but, you know, it's less.
I'm so close now.
Yes. It's a few months. It's fast approaching. So you've got the swimming covered.
Yeah.
Running's great. Lydia has a bit of a fear of the bike. She doesn't think she can ride it, which I just don't quite believe. And she needs, not like fitness wise, just like sitting on the bike and not falling off. Is your main concern.
That's the biggest concern. And taking out people. Or taking out myself, like crashing into people.
Well, stay away from them.
this is my issue. I'm scared.
Yes. So I've put it out to the world.
Yeah, shit.
Lydia Ironman 2022.
Oh, give me a few years.
Okay.
Why? Ironman 2022.
Yeah, that's soon. You can already run a marathon. You can already swim far. You just got to not fall off your bike and you'll be fine.
It is interesting though, because like after doing UTA, because it's like an ultra marathon, I'm like, oh, like if I would to do a triathlon, I'm not going to do one that's just like, you know, a 500 meter swim or like a 5K run. I'm like, what's the point of that? Like it'd be over so quickly. I would spend most of my time in the transition, like putting my shoes on. You know how slow I am to get ready? Like, oh my God. I'd just be there like fixing my swimming cap and goggles. I don't know what I'd be doing, but it'd take a long time and most of it wouldn't actually be the activity. Like I'm there for the run, right?
You're right. Yeah, that's it. Well, okay. Either way, it's happening and I'm putting it out there to the universe.
Yeah.
And I'm not committing, but
I know you're there
to tag along. Also, I did a bike ride last weekend, so look out.
Yeah, I know.
You see my pace? You could have run faster than I rode my bike, in fact. But we discussed the fact that it was not ideal.
No.
But good fun. So good luck with that. Can't wait to watch it all
happen. Thank you, guys. I can't wait as well. Throw
you under the bus. Well, you did say last week, I think, that I'd be a really good spectator. So put it all into action.
Also, I'm so excited for UTA. That's another thing. We can talk about it later.
Have we No, we haven't. Entries open.
No, not yet.
Okay, are we doing the 100?
Oh, gosh. No, I was going to volunteer.
Oh.
I was going to cheer you on.
Me on in the 4K. That's right.
Yes, the 4K. Yeah.
Also, we've got an entrance hold the water for to the 4K you. As well. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very exciting. Stay gosh. Tuned for that, guys.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to volunteer. I'm going to run the 4K. And
it's going to be a great weekend away.
So
I'm keen for the pizza after.
I'm just going to take you to get there from course. Is it worth
That's
it?
Right. I'll have a sponsor by then. I'll be flying business class.
Oh yeah. If anyone wants to sponsor us as spectators and 4K runners, please reach
out. Okay. All right. Enough's enough. Usually Soph's the one to cut off me chatting, but
yeah,
today
I've
me.
Been. Yeah. Sorry.
Soph, you're off with the fairies today.
We spent 3 hours on Zoom before this.
Oh yeah.
I've run out of brain power. Anyway, yes. Go on.
So just a little reveal. This 3 hours ago and
at
now
2 o'clock.
3 hours.
And Lydia later. Had plans at 4:30 and I was like, oh, you should probably like organize that. And she's like, no, it's ages. Like, what are you doing? And now she missed
and
those plans because
3 hours
dark.
Later. Still
has gone down.
Yeah.
Here we are. Yeah. Anyway, enough. Who's our guest?
Oh, our guest is a very exciting one. And we say exciting every time, but I'm so excited. I literally sent him a message just before I recorded this saying how excited I was that it's coming out next week. So we have Tyson Brown, who is an online personal trainer based in Sydney, and he has his graduate diploma in performance nutrition. So he knows a whole lot of stuff about food and a whole lot of stuff about training, which is awesome. What are you going to say, Soph?
Oh, I was disagreeing. Sorry. I'll just keep quiet. Actually, on that, just to interrupt, I was very quiet in this episode because I felt like it was really Lydia's domain. So I just took a back seat and I just listened, observed, took it all in.
Mm.
And it was really good. I enjoyed the chat, but I didn't say much. So just a heads up in case you're all missing my input because I know how valuable my comments are. Anyway, sorry, enough of me. I'm making up for it now because I don't talk later.
anyway. So Tyson actually has a podcast as well himself, and he talks heaps about nutrition stuff and also just general goal setting. So that was kind of a big theme in this episode, as we talked a lot about how to set goals, some practical tips, how to stay motivated compared to just having an identity that helps you form your goals and adhere to your plan, which is really interesting. Tyson talks a bit about the sort of listen to your body mentality, and we all sort of talk about that and about the difference between, you know, trusting your body compared to trusting the process and listening to your coach in terms of reaching your goals. And then we also talk about actually fueling for running, because obviously Tyson's area of interest is nutrition. So he talks a little bit about how you can fuel for low heart rate running, as well as just day-to-day sort of essentials for runners, and focusing on injury prevention and recovery, which is super important, because the more times you get injured, the more times you have off, which means you're sort of further away from your goals, because ideally we don't have to have heaps of time off. Yeah, that's sort of pretty much the main things we cover. He does sort of give some actual practical examples and talks a little bit about fiber timing around your runs, because I think that's a big thing, particularly with racing, but also for people who are going for 2 runs a day or trying to fit around lots of different training, micronutrients to focus on, digestion, energy intake, food volume, fats, and just general health as well. So yeah, really valuable episode. Tyson also has a fantastic Instagram page and podcast, so I definitely recommend supporting him, checking his page out and listening to his podcast. A little bit more in the fitness sort of industry, like he is like he coaches people for training in the gym, but he also coaches some runners and triathletes as well. So that's why we wanted to get him on. But yeah, I think nutrition and sort of goal adherence is so, so important. You really can't be a runner without all that stuff. So it was really great to have him on. And I feel like there's a lot everyone can get out of this episode.
Yeah, for sure. Enjoy the episode, guys. Let us know what you think. You can send us a message on Instagram. You can repost the episode on your story. Like, subscribe, follow, all those things, please. Would be much appreciated.
Oh, and I remember last episode we said send us an email. And we actually got an email this week. So
we did.
It was wonderful. Yeah, that's it. So, you know, if anyone else wants to pop their
just have a chat
comments in an email, yeah, always up for a chat.
Awesome. All right, enjoy, and we will see you in a fortnight.
That's it. Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Strongest Habit Podcast. We have Tyson Brown here today, who is an online personal trainer who has his graduate diploma in performance nutrition. Welcome, Tyson.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I hope I got those credentials correct. Feel free to add anything to the resume, because I'm sure there's probably a lot there that you do. I probably just touched on just the top.
They're probably the two main things at the moment, I guess, you know, like the training side of things and the most recent accomplishment, which is the graduate diploma. So hopefully, you know, in the future I'll be introduced as when I have my master's, but that'll take a few years.
Oh, what's the master's in?
So it'll be sports again, or yeah, sports and performance nutrition. Yeah.
Awesome. So you're studying that at the moment then?
That'll actually start next month, potentially. So because you actually, the way I've gone through it is actually all through the UK. So I've actually got to apply through a uni in Ireland to see if I get accepted for there and then do the online study.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different pathway because Australia doesn't offer the same type of thing. Even though the degree is recognised over here, they don't have the same type of pathway. So it's a bit of a different, you know, journey, but I really like the online type of study, to be honest.
Yeah, right. And yeah. Where did you graduate diploma? In Australia or overseas? No,
that was in the UK. So that was
oh wow,
in Birmingham.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Gosh, international. Good on you. Why not? Yeah. I guess if that's where if that's where the courses that you want to study that you're gonna get the most out of, then that's where you go. So that's good. Do you wanna just start off by obviously we just sort of touched on what you're doing at the moment, but who you are and what you do.
Yeah, for sure. So I've been personal training for about 8 years now. We'll be coming up to 8 years in a few months. And, you know, like I just started off as a personal trainer in a gym, kind of doing the usual things that, you know, most trainers do. And I guess during that time, like for me, I was also struggling with a bit of binge eating issues during that time. And so one thing that started to become more and more apparent, just how important like nutrition was, you know, like not just just in regards to health, but just how important it is with your relationship with food, you know, and like with my relationship with food, trying to hide it as a trainer, you know, trying to train people, but trying not to show the issues that I was struggling with. It was a big journey for me kind of going through that and learning about nutrition to become, to understand what I was dealing with and just feel better about that side of things. So it was a bit of a journey during this time. And, you know, instead of just doing the PT side of things, learning about nutrition, it was actually something I got more interested in. And as I learned, I actually helped improve my issues, you know, with my eating disorder. And then after I kind of, you know, in a way beat my disorder, learning how important nutrition was for other people. And that's kind of the path that I started taking. So, you know, over the last 4 years, I started moving more towards the nutrition side of things. Became a nutritionist, then became a sports nutritionist, done my grad diploma. So that's the direction I've started taking over the last few years. And I just think it's just, it's such an interesting, you know, area to go in. Not so much the science of it, like the science is really cool, but like just how it works with people, you know? And again, like I said, the relationship with food is such an important thing. And, you know, as I talk about on Instagram and stuff like that, that's kind of where I go towards like understanding nutrition, but also just being, you know, having that relationship with food and feeling good about yourself, you know?
That's fantastic. Were you always that interested in the sort of psychology behind why people eat the way they eat when you sort of went into the fitness industry, or did you go into the fitness industry because you just were into the gym?
I actually went into the fitness industry because I ran away from my problems in Townsville. So basically, like I was like really, like I was drinking heavily into drugs. I kind of just did everything. And then one day I was 17 and I was like, I'm going to leave. So I ran away. And I was like, you know what? It's time to just get fit and healthy. So in Sydney, I joined a gym, just started trying to get healthy, you know, and learning about it. And as I was learning, it just became like a very I don't know, in, like a big topic of interest for me. And especially like in school, I dropped out in grade 10. So I didn't really have much of an interest with what I was going to do in my life. And it just kind of just happened that I found an interest in this side of things. And, you know, as it went on, it was more in the psychology of food. Like that thing that just, I love learning all about that.
Yeah. Wow.
That's such a young age to make such a big change as well. So early on to decide to sort of pack up your things and try a new life. That's really cool that you I guess you made that decision so early, and I guess it's probably led to where you are today to be quite successful at a relatively young age and sort of start those things off pretty early. Yeah, it's pretty interesting how you've gone from that lifestyle and then now where you are. Bit of a flip.
Yeah, a bit of a 180.
Something you talk heaps about on your Instagram, which I'd love to ask you about, is, I mean, it's sort of a common theme for our listeners. Tyson also has a podcast too, and you've got heaps of great episodes about this as well, but goal setting, it's like such a big theme. And obviously you say you like the science, but you also really enjoy the psychology behind the whys and how people work. So you're massive on goal setting. How do you get your clients to adhere to a goal and also just set a realistic goal in the first place?
Yeah. Okay. So basically when it comes to goal setting, like the biggest thing that I think a lot of people get ahead of themselves with is setting things that are just unrealistic. You know, like everyone wants to, you know, whether it be weight loss, getting fit or whatever it's going to be, everyone always picks this, like just such a far reaching goal. And it's like, can you actually do that with the way your lifestyle is at the moment? Because people tend to get caught up in what they want to do versus, like what they can realistically do. You know, they think they want to, you know, train 5 days a week, eat clean and healthy, do all these things. But it's like, you know, if you're a mum with kids or you're someone who's studying or you've, you know, you've got life to happen with you too. So like the first thing you've got to do is just take a step back and look at yourself realistically with what can you actually achieve based on your lifestyle at the moment, you know? And again, it's a bit of an ego check for people, I think, because a lot of people think that, you know, you can achieve anything or you can do whatever you want to do. And I'm like, that's just unfortunately not the case, you know? So the first thing is just being realistic with yourself with what you actually want to achieve and is it achievable, you know? I think the biggest thing that a lot of people say, you know, let's say weight loss goals, everyone just has this number they'll put in their head, you know, like, oh, I want to be 12 kilos lighter in 6 weeks. And it's like, okay, like, let's just slow it down for a second and rethink about this, how we're going to kind of go about it. So the first thing, as always, just setting realistic goals, I think is important. And then secondly, like looking at your big picture goal, and then I always like to work back from it, you know? So I was like, all right, I want to get to here. And in order to get to that, I have to do X, Y, and Z in the next few months. And then that means in the next few weeks, I have to do X, Y, Z. And then which means in the day-to-day process, I have to do this, this, and this, you know? So when we can break that bigger goal down into smaller chunks, not only does it make it more, I guess, achievable because now you have kind of an action plan, but it also just kind of gives you that focus on the day-to-day, you know? Because you'll be like, oh, I want to be able to run this amount of, you know, like let's say I want to be able to run a marathon and it's 40Ks. Well, you're not going to go from zero to 40Ks. You got to, you know, obviously increase the volume over time and increase your fitness. So again, like it'd be a running plan. So like this week, we're doing this amount of Ks. Next week, we're doing this amount of Ks. And then the day-to-day, it might be like 3 runs this week. But you also got to make sure you're looking after your nutrition. You got to make sure you're doing all the other things. So I like to kind of break it down into the day to day. And I always say win the day, you know, like you always focus on what your day is going to be, what you've got to do for that day and not thinking about that long-term thing. Cause if you just keep winning every day and some days you're not going to win them, but if you have a lot of wins, it's going to move you in that right direction overall. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. They talk about that in, gosh, I just had a mind blank, Atomic Habits. James Clear's book about like all those little tiny things, and it sets you in the trajectory of where you want to go. And like they don't seem like much, but over time they're actually very big changes, which sort of sounds like a similar approach that you take by like splitting everything up into tiny little pieces and just like focusing on those small parts. So when you say like make sure the goal is realistic, what do you use to assess that? Like, I guess it depends on the goal and whether we're talking about nutrition or in the gym or running, but do you use your past to determine what is going to be realistic for the future? Like, how do you get people to gauge that?
Well, again, like I guess it's always going to be context dependent, right? So based on the person. And then it's always, it's going to be quite hard for me to explain this, but I guess like, you know, with the person who I'm going to be talking to, or if I'm, you know, talking to Instagram with setting realistic goals, like most of the time you can kind of think in your head, can I do this? Like in not a perfect world, you know, like, cause it's not a perfect world. So like, you know, if I could think in 3 months time, if I wanted to achieve this goal and I wasn't 100% on point, would I still get to that goal overall? Mm. You know, I think a lot of people, when you kind of sit back and think about it, you could probably tell yourself the truth. Do you think you'd be able to achieve it or not? You know,
yeah.
Because I think, again, we have this thing. It's like, oh, you know, you can definitely lose 6 kilos in 12 weeks if you're consistent every day of the week for the next 12 weeks, you know, but we're humans. We're going to make mistakes. So it's like,
yeah,
we have to also account for things that are going to happen in life. So it's like, let's set something that if you think about it, and even if it wasn't 100% perfect, let's say, like, again, I always say, if you can be 90% perfect, you're probably going to get close to that goal, like pretty close to it, you know? So it's like, if you can achieve 90% perfection on the way, and you realistically can you actually still reach that goal?
No, that's awesome.
Can I just say something else on that?
Yeah, please do.
So like, again, with this goal setting, I also get people to, you know, the overall goal, you've got to actually ask yourself, why do you want to achieve that, right? And I think he says this in Atomic Habits too. It's not why once. It's asking yourself why until you find the core root, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's like, why do you want to run 40Ks? Oh, because I want to run a marathon. Why do you want to run a marathon? Oh, well, you know, it's something I'd like to do. Well, why do you want to do it? Because it means I'm going to be fitter. Why do you want to be fitter? And you got to keep going. It's going to be these layers that are going to come down. And it's going to come down to something core, you know? And when you find that something that's going to resonate with you, I tell my clients, write it down on a piece of paper somewhere you can see it daily, put it on your phone, you know, on your background of your phone, put it somewhere that's going to be constantly reminding you, because you've got to remember what that core is, but you've also got to constantly be reminded of it. So like, when you wake up in the morning, look at that goal. When you go to bed, look at that goal, because the more you see it, the more our subconscious mind will start to act towards that way, you know? Some things will do. It's kind of changing your identity, you know? So some things we'll do that'll actually start acting in accordance, whether we know it or not. We might make a healthier option. We might, you know, not slack off a run. We might go and do that run. We'll do these things that are going to be better for us because we've got that goal focus. We know the real reason why. And that way you can start to kind of maneuver your way towards that without, again, the subconscious can start to work without you actually thinking about it too.
Is that why you think a lot of people, you know, they set these big goals, so New Year's Day, they say, I want to do this thing, and they just talk about it then, and then they don't really put the time into breaking it down or reminding themselves of it. It's just kind of this random idea that they'll do in 6 months' time, and then it never ends up happening. Do you think it's, you need that constant reminder because it's so easy to get distracted from everything else that's going on?
Yeah, I think the constant reminder, but again, I think that would definitely come back to down to realistic things, because like when we try to move towards something, everyone wants to change everything at once, you know, like you've gone from, again, like, you know, you could be someone who drinks every weekend, you go out and party, you don't do any exercise during the week, and you're like, January 1st, I'm training 5 days a week, I'm eating clean, you know, I'm eating healthy, I'm not drinking on the weekend. And we go to these extremes, and it's like, that's also an issue for people to go from one, like from one thing to another, and not building on those habits, or just, you know, doing these little daily things. It can be quite, it's very hard to change your identity overnight or to change it in a few weeks. So I think people, again, setting these unrealistic goals is another issue why they can't achieve them. You know, because like, just think, like we all have identities at the moment, you know, like my identity is that I'm an online coach and that I'm fit and I'm healthy and all these things. And so we kind of live by that. And so what happens is when your identity changes or it's starting to change, you can kind of feel lost for a little bit. It's like, if you lost your job, right? If I lost my job right now, or like, you know, I could never be a coach again, that's a large part of my identity that's just gone. And so I would have a very hard time, you know, mentally, emotionally, just trying to deal with what is my purpose next, because I feel like this is my purpose, you know? And so with this, like, you know, going into your next stage, you're always going to be changing your identity to something new. So you've got to think about where do you want to go? And I guess this kind of comes back to goals again. It's like, not so much affirmations, but what's the word I'm trying to think of? So like, I will tell myself when I don't feel like doing things, I'm an athlete, or I'll tell myself I'm disciplined, or I tell myself, you know, I'm healthy. And when I say those things to myself, you will start to embody those things that you need to do. You know, it's not like I am rich or I am the fittest person in the world, but it's like, I am an athlete. Okay. What does an athlete do? Well, he shows up on time. He does what he needs to do every day, whether he feels like it or not. And he treats his body correctly by eating the right food, you know? So saying these things to yourself about what you want, again, if you want to be healthy, I am healthy. And then you'll think to yourself, what does a healthy person do? Well, they wouldn't choose the deep fried chips. They would choose this instead. So this is a little bit of identity change that can start moving you in the right direction when you start to say these things to yourself on a, you know, on a regular basis too.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. How much does motivation play into this? Because you've talked about having a really deep why on your goals, which I think is so important. Anecdotally, like, yes, having a why, I think I always have to. But what about, and then the identity too, I think that's really important. But what about actually being motivated? You say an athlete shows up on time, they get there, they get it done, whether they feel like it or not. Do we need to be motivated all the time? Because I think that's a bit of a hot topic at the moment.
Yeah. So motivation is always something that's going to be there at the very start, right? It's actually, you know, it's a process in our brain, because when we have this, like something we want to set, we have that excitement about it. Like, oh, I'm going to do this. And, you know, like it creates that urgency that you want to do it now. But motivation doesn't last forever, and nor should it. It's not designed to be like that, because we can't always be having high dopamine levels all the time. It doesn't work like that, you know? So what we actually have to do is, again, it kind of comes back to this, these habits that we build on a daily basis, the things we need to do, and showing yourself that you just do it no matter what, you know? And at the start, it's going to be hard. You're going to have to rely on that motivation. But then on those days where you're not motivated, this is the days where you look at your why, you remind yourself what you're doing and why you're doing it for. And again, like, sometimes those affirmations are going to play a big part. You know, like, again, you know, it's like, oh, I don't feel like going for a walk today. And you're like, well, I'm a healthy person. You're like, yeah, I'm a healthy person. I got to go and do it. You know? And again, you can kind of have this little bit of a battle in your head with whether you should or whether you shouldn't. And I feel like, unfortunately, a lot of people are just, it's going to sound bad, but people are mentally weak. You know, everyone will look for the excuse not to do something, the easier way, because, you know, I'm sitting on this comfy couch. I got my nice comfy headphones in. I got a blanket over me. Like, why do I want to get up and get uncomfortable? Right.
Yeah.
So we are in a world where we're living in comfortableness, but we have to be able to push ourselves out of this comfortable zone, especially if we want to achieve what we say we want to achieve, you know? Yeah. So I think, you know, motivation, again, it's going to be fleeting. It might last 2 weeks, but that's when you got to show up. That's when you got to build the habits. And that's when, like, it just blows me away that people are like, I don't feel motivated. It's like I said on my podcast, you're not motivated to go to your job. You're not motivated to go and do certain things. You're not like, what are you going to, I wake up, I don't feel like feeding my kids today. I'm just not motivated to do it. Like, you're not going to do that, you know? So it's like, you just got to show up and you treat it like your job, and you've got to do what you need to do. And I think this applies to all areas of life, not just health and fitness, but like everything. You're never going to be motivated to do everything all the time. Even, you know, for you girls, you know, running, doing your exercise and stuff, you don't wake up every day and you're like, I'm motivated to do this. There are some days you're like, I'm just going to do it. You know, I just got to do it. I just got to show up and get it done. And sometimes they're your best sessions too, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. Well, I feel like there's a big movement, like, in the last 5 years to listen to your body. And it's probably my least favorite phrase. And I don't mean to be harsh, because I think there are times when, you know, the classic type A person, they're overtraining, they're overworking, maybe they're trying to push to do things that they shouldn't be. And maybe they're really sore and they're injured and they should listen to their body. But I feel like the phrase is oversaid, and I think for most of the time we just need to be clear about our goals and clear about our purpose. But yeah, what do you think about listen to your body, Tyson?
I just think I'm rubbing my eyes. So
let it out.
It's a hard thing because people say, like, people don't know what their body wants, you know? Like, and they're like, oh, listen to your body. I'm like, well, hang on. You're telling people who have just started getting into the health and fitness side of things, you know, they've been working in an office, they've been eating fast food all the time, they haven't been very active. Now we're telling these people to listen to their body. They're not going to have any idea, you know? Like, the body awareness with people themselves, just trying to do exercises and stuff like that. So you're not going to be in tune with your body, Okay. Secondly, I think, you know, again, if you're going to be someone who's exercising, usually you're going to have a training program that's going to be having deloads and going to be having, you know, like increasing volume. I'm assuming it's the same with running, right? You increase your volume over time, then you have a deload. So it's like, okay, if you're in a proper mesocycle or a training cycle, you just like, and you should know kind of where you're at basically. So if you know you got a deload in 2 weeks, why are you slacking off 2 weeks before? Why are you not putting in the effort? Like, listen to your body, because I'm tired, because I don't have motivation. I always say to people, all right, are you actually like, you know, when people say, should I do this today or should I not? Like, how do you kind of know? Well, a few different things, I guess you can say. Number one, if you enjoy training. So if you're someone who enjoys training and you wake up today and you're like, I don't know what's wrong with me, I can't do it. That might be an indicator that you could be possibly overtrained, or you could be, you know, it could just be one of those off days, you know? So I would say, again, if you're someone who enjoys it, just the training or whatever you're doing itself, and it's one of those days where you just wake up and like everything's not good, maybe it might be one of those days where you listen to your body, you know? Apart from that, not many people need to be listening to their body. Like, people are probably more, you would benefit more from actually doing the training than not doing the training, you know? Because what do people do when they go, I don't feel like it? It's not like they go for a walk. It's not like they stretch. It's not like they do any recovery stuff. They sit down and they watch fucking TV. And it's like, oh, so it's not that you listen to your body. It's that you're just being lazy today and you don't want to do anything, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good
cop-out. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Well, I tend to think most of the time you don't feel like it until you start. Yeah. And maybe not for everyone. Like, yeah, there's probably some people who are like so excited to get to the gym. And to be honest, I'm excited to go to the gym and go for a run and do things. But in saying that, I'm excited because I know how I feel after. The actual thought of doing it most of the time, I'm like, oh, really? And then I start. I'm like, oh, this is great. That's right. I knew I liked this. But, yeah, I think if I had to rely on motivation, yeah, it is fleeting for sure. So, yeah, I think it's good to hear that. I feel like more people need to, I guess –
understand that motivation is bullshit. Yeah. Just don't rely on motivation. Or listen to your body, especially if you have a coach and they've given you a proper program and they've given you structure, don't listen to your body. Listen to your coach. You know, like, they have done the time, they've put in the effort that needs to be done. They know when you're going to need to deload. So go and do what you need to do. And like you said, most people, like, it's that thought, like, oh, do I want to do it today? But once you do it, you feel good. So do the 10-minute rule, you know, do it for 10 minutes. If you don't like it, stop. But a large majority of people, once they get to that 10-minute mark, oh, I might as well keep going, and they go and do it, you know?
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. I guess not having it even as a question, it's just kind of, again, coming back to what you said before, I am an athlete, so this is just what I do. Like, not even giving yourself the chance to think, oh, should I, shouldn't I? Just going, no, it's on the schedule. That's like, you've got your rest days booked in. That's not today. So just do what you've planned for. I think so many times, like, I think more people are undertrained than overtrained. Yeah. I think you would know if you're desperate for a rest day or if you're going to become injured. Most of the time, it's just people who they just can't be bothered. So it's a good excuse because it sounds like they're, you know, really in tune with themselves and they feel what's going on. But I think it's just a good reason for people to take it easy. But if you want to reach your goals, then that's not going to happen because you're going to just, if you've done it once, you're just going to keep using that excuse again and you're just not going to get there.
100%. And you know, same things like snooze button. I don't snooze. I just like, the rule is don't snooze because so many people are like, oh, I just need that extra, you know, 8 minutes. I'm like, well, then set the timer for then, because if you keep putting it off, that's like a bad habit. If you do that, you will start to put other things off. You know, I feel like people who had those snooze alarms or put these little things off, it's what they do all in their life. You know, they do all the same type of things. They put little things off, or they make excuses, or they say they're all or nothing mentality, you know? Oh, I'm either on or I'm off. And I'm like, what a fucking cop out to say that you're on or off, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, am I allowed to swear on this?
No, you can. No. Well,
it's all good.
Wow. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's awesome. How do you recommend people track their progress? So obviously if you've got a coach, it's could be quite clear. Like, you could be using numbers and data. For a runner, it's often quite clear because, again, you've got like PBs and times that you're chasing. But in terms of sustainability and maintaining a positive relationship with exercise or nutrition or whatever it may be, are there any other suggestions that you have for tracking progress without being so strict on numbers, I guess, for an example? It's a lot in that question.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. So, like, if we're going to talk about tracking progress, I guess, like, again, context is going to be key with what we're kind of looking at here. So, you know, again, like you said, if it's running, your progress would be, is your time getting better? Are you doing more distance? You know, is your efficiency of running getting better? You know, things like that. When it comes to things like the gym, like it's kind of hard because like without being numbers focused, because you're in the gym, the goal is to progressively overload, right? So like each week you'd either want to increase your reps, increase your sets, or increase your weight, basically. Or like if you stick to the same weights each week, you will just notice it gets easier because you get stronger and you get more efficient, you know? So like, again, if you weren't tracking, you're like, oh, I benched 60 kilos last week for 5 reps and this week I can do 7. You didn't track that. That's still kind of progress, you know? But I also think it depends on what the person is setting themselves as a progress goal. Because I think, again, everyone's different. It's like what I say about success. Everyone's version of success is different, you know? And every, like, there's so many different areas where you can be successful in. So you have to decide what success and what progress is going to mean to you. Because a lot of people think whether, you know, it has to be a number on the scale or it has to be a certain running time or whatever it's going to be. But it's like, well, what does it mean to you? What does, you know, success and progress mean? So when you can create that for yourself, then you can kind of determine what your parameters and what your, you know, your progress is going to be. Because, you know, if you're going off someone else, you're like, oh, well, they can run this time. Well, it's like, yeah, well, they do this and you do this and you're 40 years old and they're 20 years old and things like that. So I would say, you know, you would probably have to decide for yourself what your progress is going to be and what your success is going to be.
And do you think that people should always be tracking? Because there's some people who just want to show up, go through the motions and they don't care that much. Like, do you think that they truly don't care and that some people don't, there's no real need? Or do you think that you'll always sort of get value out of tracking progress because it allows you to see your progress?
Oh, definitely not. I think, like, you know, a large majority of, you know, the general population, they just want to show up and do something, like, to get some to get a sweat on and feel good. Like, a large majority of my clients are just normal people, and some of them don't, like, you know, they all have their own programs. Some of them put their workouts in, sometimes some will go and do it and not track, but they're just like, I just want to go in, I just want to have a good little session and sweat a little bit and, you know, exercise and feel good and then go back to my life. And it's like, you know what, if that's what you want to do, it's absolutely fine. Because when I don't think everyone needs to or thinks they have to, especially when they have a lot of other life stuff going on, you know. I was doing in-person PT, I had clients who were with me for years and they would forget, like, you know, they would go in, they'd switch off, they'd let me tell them what they need to do, and then they'd go home. And, like, you know, I remember one of my clients, I was like, okay, today we're going to do goblet squats. And he starts doing push-ups. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, wait, what's a squat again? And I'm like, we've been training for four years. And it's just like, it's just that time for some people just to switch off, go and see someone or do it themselves. And just you know, take 60 minutes to kind of debrief themselves. And that's absolutely fine at the end of the day, because not everyone wants to, you know, get to a certain level or whatever they want to do, which is fine. But it's like everyone should be doing some form of physical exercise and keeping healthy, but they don't have to kind of be on this progression, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really good because I think a lot of people do exercise for their mental health.
Yeah.
Whether it's running or going to the gym or swimming or whatever you do. So I think, but it is easy to fall into that trap. Like if you start running, you get your Fitbit or your Garmin and you're like, oh, okay, like I've got to see my times. I've got to get faster every week. And it's like, well, if you just enjoy running, like just put your shoes on and go for a jog. And
100%.
You know, like, does it matter that much? I mean, I guess, yeah, everyone's different, but I think it's nice to hear you say that, like, no, everyone just, it comes back to your why, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also with that, that's also a responsibility of a coach, you know, to know to not put our biases on our clients, you know, like, oh, you got to get to this or we're going to get you doing this. But it's like, well, what do they want to do? You know, like they might as well go in there. And again, like I said, just sweat for 60 minutes. And that's why there are things like F45 and group circuit classes and stuff like that. Cause you know, you may not really care and you just kind of want to go and have a bit of a community or have a bit of a workout, or again, just go for a run. And it's like, if that's what you want to do, that's absolutely fine. But if that's what you want to do, that is fine. But don't say you want to do this and then complain about it because you're only doing this, you know? That's the differentiation, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really important because there's probably plenty of people who talk about goals and, oh, yeah, I want to do this time. And, oh, I don't know why. I'm training really hard. But, yeah, they're just showing up, which – and there is definitely a big difference. So,
yep.
Yeah, I think that's important to note. We'd love to chat a bit more about food and I guess food for runners as well. Yeah. Obviously, I mean, do you coach any runners? That could be a good question.
Yeah, so I train three runners.
Oh, cool.
So,
there you
go. So they're all marathon runners, so 42Ks. It's 42Ks, right?
Yeah.
Thank God.
42.2.
42.2, yeah. So, yeah, I coach them. I coach some triathletes. So usually most of it's Gen Pop, but I do have a fair few, like a few athletes on the side. I don't train that many because it just takes a lot more time and effort on that side of things. So definitely. I always try and keep it on a low thing. But yeah, I do train some of those people. So I guess with regards to running a long distance type of thing, I structure their nutrition based on what their training volume is going to be. So on their lower intensity runs, their longer, slower runs, I actually use a train low approach. So they will train on fasted in the morning. They won't have anything to eat and they'll keep their heart rate under 65 percent of their heart rate max. So that way they can be using fat as their fuel source. Do you guys know about that?
Well, I mean, there's going to be a mixture of not just fats, right? Surely they're going to use some carbs or
So basically, like when it comes to intensities of our workouts, the higher our intensity goes, the more we're going to be using carbohydrates as a fuel source. Okay. So when you're doing like short, smaller runs and you're pushing your heart rate max above that 65%, you're going to start pushing way more bias towards carbohydrates. Okay. When you're keeping your runs lower, at a lower heart rate percentage max, you're going to be using primarily fat as a fuel source. However, if you have not eaten a lot of carbohydrates the night before, and if you haven't eaten anything in the morning, you're actually going to be using fat as your fuel source, as primary fuel source. Okay. But again, intensity is going to change that. So if your intensity starts to go up, you're going to use less fat as a fuel source. So what I'm trying to do with my clients is you actually get good training adaptions from doing longer, slower runs under a heart rate max. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to obviously help with the training adaptions and improve their overall performance. So then when it actually comes to a long distance run where you're actually going to try and increase the intensity a little bit, and then you are fueled with carbohydrates, you're actually going to perform better overall. So there are times where we train low for that reason to get the training adaptions. And then there are times where we'll train high, which just means you have glycogen in your muscles and have a carbohydrate meal before you run to do more of your intensity thing. So it's actually good to be metabolically flexible and swap them to interchange the way you eat.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. As a general for runners, like obviously there's a lot of considerations about fueling during your runs, or like I guess if you're in a high intensity session, something to eat before and after, etc. But what about just like general sort of considerations for people who are doing lots of running or like high volume sort of mileage? Because obviously not everyone's going to want to have a meal plan or have like I have to have this protein shake after my run or this whatever. Are there any sort of things that runners should be like ticking off in their meals? Like make sure I always have this or make sure I include a source of blah, blah, blah. Like are there particular things that are on top of the Gen Pop or?
Yeah. I would always say, where's your protein first? You know, like protein is not just for muscle building. It's for muscle recovery. It's also for training adaptions too. So it'll help, like, you know, when you have your protein after you work out, whether it be a protein shake or whatever it's going to be, you can activate muscle protein synthesis. And after a running phase, you're actually going to help just with the recovery phase in general, because running is quite catabolic, you know, it's quite it breaks muscle down. So in order to get your training adaptions and prevent any muscle loss from running, making sure you're having protein after you work out, but not just after you work out, just at any meal, you know, like whenever I say to, whether you're a runner or not, when you sit down, where is my protein? You know, and this is where we can kind of decide if you're going to have like, you know, if you're having four meals a day, so you got breakfast, lunch, afternoon snack and dinner. It's like, where's my protein for breakfast? Okay. I can have a protein shake. I can have some Greek yogurt. If you want to have a chicken sandwich for breakfast, whatever you want to do, there's always an option. You know, it's where's your protein? Lunchtime, same thing. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to make a meal. Where's my protein? Dinner, same thing. Because that way, when you've always got protein on your mind, there's a high chance that you're not going to be deficient in protein. You know, there's a higher chance you're going to have better recovery and you're just going to feel better overall. So I would say protein first. And if you're a runner, where's your carbohydrate source at every meal too? You know, again, like whether it's long or slow or high intensity, carbohydrates will still be the primary fuel source for running. So making sure you are asking yourself, where's my carbohydrate source? If you're going to be running within, I would say 80 minutes of a run, so an hour 20, choose a high GI She's a high GI carbohydrate source, you know. Mm. So something very easy, like a bagel, rice crackers, crumpets, just something that's very easy to eat that's going to be easily digested. If it's going to be further away, then choosing something that's a little bit more low GI. So, you know, hot brown rice, wholemeal pasta, like, you know, potatoes and veggies and stuff like that. Something that's a little bit more calorie dense and has a combination of protein, fats and carbohydrates, because it'll take longer to download. It'll take longer to digest in your system. And then by the time you get to that run, which might be, you know, 2 hours, 2.5 hours later, it's the carbohydrates still being broken down in your body, and you're going to have them for immediate fuel source too. So I would say carb and protein would be an essential thing to think about every meal. And ideally for most people, try and eat if you can about 4 times a day.
Mm. And is that for performance or just general health? Like, obviously we're talking about a running population, but if people go, oh, I don't really care that much if I don't win Boston Marathon, I just want to make it to then the park run. Do they not need to worry about protein anymore, or should it still be high priority?
If you don't care, like, about, you know, what your running time or anything is, protein is still quite an essential thing, you know. It's mm-hmm. also really good. I think a lot of people don't realize it's good for your immune system too. So it actually can help you prevent getting sick overall. Mm. And again, like, I know people say they don't want to do the best and do they really need to worry about protein, but it's like, protein just has so many benefits that it's like, I just call it the key macronutrient, you know, for satiation, for feeling better, for reducing hunger over long periods of time, making meals taste good, again, and prevention of injury too. You know, like, if you do not recover after your workout with protein and you're constantly doing that, you're breaking down muscle all the time, you're going to get injured, you know?
Yeah.
Probably one other thing I would just say for most people then would just be like, every meal, it's plants and protein. Okay. So you plants, whether it be fruit or veggies, you got to have that at each meal. We're all adults here. We got to learn to eat our veggies and fruit.
Good. That's awesome. I love my veggies. I can do that.
I don't get it. I just blows me away that people are like, I don't like veggies. I'm like, do you know how many veggies are out there?
I know.
Yeah. You can't rule them all out. One of them.
And it's like, just like, again, I just say, there's so many ways to make them taste better, you know, herbs, spices, seasonings, sauces. Like, I can't cook and I can make veggies taste okay. So yeah. I'm quite sure that a lot of people can.
I've just realized that I like Brussels sprouts, and oh my goodness, I cannot get enough of them. I've been eating them every day. So I'm stoked to discover it. Yeah.
Eat them raw straight out of the bag.
No, you don't.
That's so good. They're my car snacks.
That would be how bitter. Oh. That?
Yeah. Anyway, we won't talk about that.
Yeah. No, thank you.
What about meal timing? Because I think that can be difficult for runners too. Because obviously, it's an exercise an activity that involves you jumping up and down. So
yeah.
You know, fiber can be problematic if it's pretty high. But also just like in general, like no matter what you eat, you don't want to eat too close to when you exercise, but also you don't want to like not eat. So yeah, how do you manage meal timing? Like 4 meals a day, and some people are running twice a day.
Some people are running twice a day, far out. There you go.
I mean, not everyone, but okay. Yeah. Okay. I mean, some people do.
I guess like this is going to be a very, it's quite context dependent again, because some people, like I got friends who can just eat like huge amounts of food and then go for a run or go and train. And I'm like, that makes me feel sick watching them do that. I'm like, no way. So I guess for everyone, you have to think about what time are you going to train? Okay. So, you know, if you're someone who trains as soon as you wake up in the morning, you're probably not going to be able to eat anything really quickly. You know, it will upset your stomach quite quick. Ask yourself what time you're going to train. And then I would say start to experiment. So like I said before, if it's within 18 minutes and you feel like you need to have something small, like, you know, have 2 crumpets, have a bagel, have a banana, something that's just like a small amount of carbohydrates. It's very easy to eat. It won't sit in your stomach so much, and it'll just kind of, you know, it'll be digested quite quickly. That would be one thing, like the smaller kind of the better, I guess I would say, if you're going to be closer to your workout, to your running. If it's going to be further away, I guess it really depends, like, because with the digestion based on kind of the calorie content of the food, how much, like I said, fiber, how much fat is in there, if it's low GI carbohydrates. So we can't really time, but if we try and, you know, I would probably say give yourself 2.5 to 3 hours before your actual run to have a decent sized meal that's going to contain, you know, let's say ideally try and keep it around 7 to 10 grams of fiber in that meal. Try and give yourself about 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrates at about 20 to 30 grams of protein. That shouldn't be so much load on the gastric system that it should be okay by the time you get to the run. It won't feel like it's in your stomach type of thing, you know? But also hydration plays a part in that too. If people are drinking a lot of water and stuff beforehand, you're just going to have a belly full of water and food. So it's not going to be a good combination, you know?
Yeah. And what does that look like when you say 7 to 10 grams of fiber? I don't know if you know off the top of your head, but what would be sort of an example of how that meal would look, or just obviously we've talked about the rice crackers and the bagels and things like that. Yep. But if you're talking a bigger meal a few hours before, what do those sort of numbers look like on the plate, I guess?
Okay. So let's say in the morning it was going to be, you're going to have yogurt with fruit, right? If you're going to have strawberries, strawberries have actually got 8 grams of fiber per 200 grams. So if that'd be 200 grams of strawberry, and that's your 8 grams of fiber right there. If it was, you know, again, if it's like brown rice or wholemeal wheat, pasta and things like that, I think off the top of my head, per 100 grams is like 4 or 5 grams. So that would be like, again, 1 to 200 grams of the wholemeal stuff. Otherwise, it could look like with veggies, they're a little bit higher in fiber. So I might be like 250 grams of veggies. Or like 150 grams of veggies, and then maybe a little bit of pasta on the side, which would be like 100 grams. Mm. So, yeah, I guess kind of off the top of my head, that's what I'm thinking about.
Mm. Yeah, cool. Thank you.
And obviously, depending on people's weight, it's going to be different as well, right? Like that's, I'm guessing, an average estimate for an average human, whatever that
looks like. If you're a lighter female, like just reduce everything, you know. If you're a lighter female, keep it to like reduce everything except for protein. So basically keep your fiber a little bit lower. I would probably say, you know, 5 to 6 grams, you know, before you work out. And also again, just like reducing portions, because if you're a smaller individual and you're like, well, you're gonna have smaller portion sizes anyway, but if you're trying to eat big meals, it's going to be way harder for you to digest, you know.
And just for context as well, like I think like let's say you're saying around 5 grams of fiber, that's like a fifth of your recommended daily intake roughly, if you're saying you're in let's say what it's around 25 grams. Obviously again it depends on your weight, right? But
yeah,
like to get an idea of like how much that would be compared to your whole day of what you'd normally have in a meal.
Yeah, it's like a fifth. Yeah, like it's quite a small amount, you know. I always just say try and keep, like, if you're trying to have your food around your workout, keep it simple. So keep it like protein and usually simple carbohydrates, you know. The rest of our meals is where we can focus on our fiber, focus on our healthy fats and all those things. We just don't want those digestion issues around our training at all, you know, because that's the last thing you want, especially, or if you're running then all of a sudden you have to go to the bathroom or something like that. That's not the best feeling. So I think that would be the best way. And again, when it comes to fiber intake, so as we do have general recommendations, but like if you do track your calories or anything like that, per 1,000 calories, you should have 12 to 15 grams of fiber, just so it gives people an idea. So if you're eating 2,000 calories a day, it's between 24 and 30 grams of fiber.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. So just a little bit more on when you said some foods take longer to digest. Obviously we've just touched on fiber being one of them, and did you say fats as well? Like what are the other ones that you said might be longer digesting?
So fiber, fats, total calorie content and volume, they're mainly going to be the four things that are going to affect that. Okay. So again, like, so but there's a bit of a difference here. So when we say volume, if you're having a high, you know, I go on about this all the time, the people who have the high volume foods with low calories, that's actually quite easily digested in the body. Despite it being so big, you're actually hungry like 1 to 2 hours after, because it's got such a small calorie content, it actually gets broken down in the body really quickly. So it actually speeds up digestion. However, if you would have that same volume and let's say it was a wholemeal wrap with veggies, you know, a piece of chicken, 250 grams, and then let's say some avocado, that's going to sit in your stomach a lot longer because it's got protein, it's got fat, it's got fiber, and it's also got a large amount of volume, but all those calories would be like, you know, a 700 calorie meal. So that's going to take a lot longer in the body to digest too, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, if you're someone who like coming from the running the twice a day before, we do have general fiber in recommendations and things like that. But if you're an athlete and you're consuming a large amount of calories, you will just have to reduce these type of things, you know, and you'll have to choose more high calorie, lower volume foods to get your calories in and actually perform better. Because again, like you might know, like having food in your stomach always digesting is going to be an issue. You know, for me, I'm not even a runner and I eat 4,500 calories a day. And like my fiber is at like 22 grams at the moment, because otherwise, like, I just can't get the food in. So even though we have health recommendations, if you are someone who's trying to take your training seriously and trying to push yourself harder, sometimes following the general recommendations aren't always going to help you perform at your best either.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's really important to understand as well. I guess like just eating for general health is different compared to like if you're trying to perform at that high level, which may 100%. Not be applicable for all of our listeners. But I guess after just watching the Olympics as well, like you see some pretty impressive performances, but it's probably worth understanding that the way they eat and train is probably not conducive to just like an everyday general generally healthy lifestyle.
Yeah,
that sounds very critical, but I guess it's not meant to be for long term, is it? It's for
Yeah, that's it, you know. But at the end of the day, too, so like we know we had these recommendations of veggies, fruits, and like obviously these athletes will still get these little things in, you know, they'll still get fruits and they'll still get veggies. But because you're also eating so much food, usually you're just going to get nutrients, your micronutrients in just from the excess amount of food. Okay. So like even though they might not be following the exact amount of fiber intake, or they might not be hitting the veggie intake, they might be having like 5 or 6 servings of fruit a day. So they're covering some vitamins and minerals. Then they're getting, you know, they maybe take away food that may not be as much fiber, but it's still got some nutrients in there. So these athletes are definitely not going to be nutrient deficient for the most part either. Like I had to do a study on Tour de France cyclists and they're burning 8,000 calories a day. And 3,000 of those calories is coming from the drinking things on the actual ride, you know, drinking Powerade, drinking Hydrolyte and getting nutrients in that way. But it's like, that's what they have to do. So again, context is key, but I don't think a lot of the athletes will be nutrient deficient either, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Wow. So what's the difference then with general, I guess this is possibly more relevant in like a gym context, but something that you've spoken about recently on Instagram, which I'd love to hear you unpack further, but about sort of eating and training for, I guess, like the idea, or I guess the way I'd describe it would be like for the ego compared to just like being a generally healthy person and like just wanting to have a sustainable relationship with food and exercise and whatever it is that you want to do in your life.
Yep. I think people have just absolutely fucked social media, in my opinion, unfortunately. So we, like, I always say, look at who are the most followed people on Instagram. Like, it's the Kardashians, right? And like, they don't add any value to anyone. They're pretty, like, that's about it. Like, they talk. Like, it's just what they are, right? So I always say, like, especially with Instagram, it is a picture platform, and the best looking people are going to be at the top. But the best looking people with the best looking bodies are not the most educated. They don't know how to coach people, like they're putting their body on display, but just because they have a good body doesn't mean anything, you know. And it starts to get people like, you know, this whole trend about the comp preps and stuff at the moment. Everyone wants to get bikini, like, you know, the bikini and stuff like that. And it's like, that's because all these people have so many followers, and because they have so many followers, everyone thinks that that's what they have to do, you know. So they're stepping away from overall health, or they think that's what they need to do to be healthy. They have to step on stage, or they have to be that lean. And I talked about it yesterday. Like, if you look at a body fat percentage, what a healthy body fat percentage is, for a female, it's under 25%. For a male, it's under 15%, right? When you actually look what that looks like, you're going to be like, oh, that's actually not that lean. And it's like, yeah, it's not. Like, it's not overweight, but it's not shredded, like, you know, to the, like, disc skin shredded type of thing. So it's like, and people are putting this such a leanness on a pedestal when it's not health, you know. Like, people are sacrificing, you know, women are losing their menstrual cycle, guys lose their testosterone, they have eating disorders, the concoctions they think they do with foods, like all these things that they're doing in order to get to this body result. But like, that's not health at all, you know. And we're losing the health and the health and fitness. People are just aesthetically focused and think they have to look like, you know, a god all year round. And it's like, you will never perform your best, you will never look your best, you'll never feel your best at the leanest you think you can be. And being a little bit heavier, I would say, and like, when I say heavy, I'm not talking about fat, I'm just talking like slightly more than you think you need to be, is going to be the healthiest, like the healthiest, the best you can perform. You're not going to be hangry, you can go and socialize. Like, it will make you a better, well-rounded person when you take care of your health and you're just slightly above where you think you actually need to be. You know?
I think it's definitely relevant for runners as well, particularly distance runners, because and again, after just watching the Olympics, like most of the distance runners are very, very lean. And even just speaking to runners, or like most runners, I guess, oh, I shouldn't say most, but yeah, a lot of runners are very lean, and a lot of runners think that they need to be leaner or lighter to be faster, because it makes sense, right? If you are lighter, then surely it will be easier to run. But there's definitely a point where like maybe your performance goes up, and then it just kind of would drastically take a turn, right? Because if you're not healthy, you can't perform.
Yeah. Well, just for context, running. So I can run a form. I can run a, what's 4 times 5? 20 minutes. I can run 5Ks in 20 minutes. I couldn't even think about that. I can run 4Ks in 20 minutes at 90 kilos now. When I was 67 kilos, I could run 5Ks in 25 minutes. So I'm 5 minutes faster, and I'm 23 kilos heavier. So obviously being lighter will make you faster, but it's not just you, it's only just being lighter. You know, there's running efficiency. There's like, you know, your muscle mass is going to play a factor. There's so many different things. And again, like the more your training age kind of goes up, the more you get better at it, just the better you're going to be at running. So that's something to take into consideration. And then another thing, like I said, Lydia, about, you know, people always wanting to be leaner to get faster, but it's like, are you thinking you're going to try and be the best, or like, why do you think you need to get faster than what you're at? You know, why can't you try and get faster at a healthier body weight versus trying to get leaner to get faster? When again, it's just for yourself, you know, or it's for, what's it called? Strava. It's for Strava. It's not for like, you know, you're not going to be topping out at the local runs or whatever it is. I couldn't even say what it is.
The local runs. I just want to win the local run. Always.
Yeah.
It's on my vision board. I definitely think
unfortunately, like just the way that the people on top of social media at the moment are just promoting bad habits overall. And you know, and I think we need to move away from so much of a physique orientated thing, you know, like a lot of people focus on it, but it's like there's more to just your physique, you know. I always talk about there's five different things you got to focus on. So it's like your social health, your mental health, your physical health, your financial health, and then I guess I'll say like your spiritual health type of thing. And they're all components, you know. You can't focus on one because the other ones will drop. Like, you know, when you see these people who are trying to get so lean or they're so dedicated on something, they lose social life, you know, they have bad mental health. They still probably working, so they're going to have some financial health, but a lot of the other areas drop. And it's like, well, you don't want to lose all these things, because if you want to just be, I don't want to say happier overall, but if you want to be more of a fulfilled person, you have to be topping up all those buckets all the time. And, you know, one's always going to be a little bit higher than the other, but you don't want it like this, you know, you don't want to be all trying to be body focused and then everything else is down.
I think that's so important, isn't it? Cause yeah, there's definitely, or probably everyone can relate to it at times, being like really focused on one thing, and it's like you throw all your eggs into that one basket and then you kind of neglect everything else, and then the scale has to tip the other way and then your running falls apart, and it's just like you're not really making much progress because you never really get a chance to have that consistency, which is what you need with any athletic endeavor, is like day in, day out, you know, 1 foot forward at a time.
People don't like that. People like the extremes, you know. People are like, oh, we're just going to go all in for this challenge. And it's like,
yeah,
okay. Like, you know, people love the extremes, but it's like, they just don't like the moderation. Like, oh, but moderation is like, yeah, like it's boring, but it works, you know. Like boring is best. If you're bored doing your training, if you're bored doing your diet, if you're bored doing any of those things, like, you know, you're kind of just doing what you need to do every week, you're going to be the best you can be, because it is boring, because you're just doing what you need to do to get better, you know, and you get used to it. So that's what it is.
Yeah, boring is best. What a motto. Yeah, no, that's good. I feel like I've probably asked all the things that I wanted to ask. Do you have any other thoughts or things that you wanted to share that you think would be valuable?
What else do I think would be valuable for you guys?
or actually, you know what I was going to ask? What have you changed your thoughts on in the fitness industry? Like, what's the biggest thing that you've changed from your work experience, is what I'm trying to say, like from when you first started out in the fitness industry to where you are now? What has changed the most
regards to just anything?
Regards to nutrition and dieting.
Okay, my thoughts on nutrition is just like the people just have to be way more educated with it. You know, like I think that we are doing quite a piss poor job in the industry of letting people talk about nutrition. You know, like a lot of people not qualified or underqualified giving away advice that is being detrimental to people, you know, because like I said at the very start, like your life is ingrained in nutrition, you know, like when you catch up with friends and family for Christmas, what do? You eat together, you know, when it's someone's birthday, what do we get? We get them cake. When it's someone celebrating or leaving at work, we get food. Like food is such an integral part of our life. And if we do not have a good relationship with food, it is going to substantially affect you in all areas, you know. People won't go out to eat with friends because they're scared about what they can eat, all these things. So like my biggest thing is food plays a way more important part of our life than we actually realize, you know. And I think that goes a long way with saying that if you do not have a good relationship with food, start working on it, you know. If whatever's been happening in the past, you know, go and see a food psychologist, go and see a dietitian, go and get someone who's actually qualified to help you, but build that relationship with food, because you don't realize how important it is until you actually are having a problem or you've come out from that problem, you know. Like I didn't realize how much of my life I kind of missed out on by not going to friends' dinners. I didn't even go out to dinner with my family when I had an eating disorder because I couldn't track my food, you know. I couldn't weigh it, I couldn't measure it. Yeah, and it's just like, why? Because I was scared that maybe I would gain a little bit of weight, or I was not controlled or whatever it was. Like, you know, there's all these thoughts that we have in our head, but it's like you miss out on important parts of life if you don't celebrate with food.
Yeah, definitely.
Again, if you eat four times a day, that's 28 times a week you're eating food. 28 times 52. Don't ask me that math because I won't be able to tell you. But that's a lot of time in a year that you're eating food. So it's like it's always there. It's always around you. It's always in your house. It's always, you know, in front of you. So it's like you need to, you just need to work on having a healthy relationship with food, you know. And that's not seeing food as good or bad. It's not having to weigh and track and measure every single thing all the time. It's just about looking for food at what it is. Whether it be a fuel source for you, whether it be a celebration with your family for something, whether it be just making you feel good. Because sometimes, you know, something emotional can really happen and a lot of people do turn to food, but that's what a coping mechanism is, you know. Like I had a friend who unfortunately her friend passed away, and she's like, I just had to go and get a pizza because, you know, I needed that emotional thing. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, your friend just passed away, so you need that little bit of comfort. But like, am I going to get mad at her because she had a pizza because her friend passed away and she needed that little bit of support? Like, no way. So, you know, having food around us is just, you know, such a big factor of our life.
Yeah, that's it. You can't sort of just like decide not to be involved with it or not deal with it. We need it. So why not have a good relationship with it and use it to enhance your running or just your life?
Yeah, why not 100%. Both?
Yeah, that's awesome. Where can people reach out to you, Tyson? And could you just tell us a little bit about what services you offer if anyone's interested in getting in touch?
Yeah, so the best place to find me is on Instagram at Tyson the Trainer with two R's. I basically live on Instagram like 24/7. The coaching I offer is just online personal training. So like if you want to do a workout program, I'm not a running coach. You guys heard me talk about not even knowing what a running club is or things like that. So definitely not that side of things. Obviously with training, if you're looking for working out or obviously the nutrition side of things. So whether you're someone who wants to, you know, lose a little bit of weight or you do want to improve your running performance, I do offer nutrition coaching. But that will not be until next year because I am full on the books. So if you guys want to contact me, you have to wait till next year.
Yeah, wow. And can you tell us about your podcast as well? You have a podcast, which is fantastic. I love your podcast. Yeah.
Thanks. So it's called Nutrition Talks with Tyson, I think. No, Nutrition Talks with Tyson the Trainer. I don't even know my own podcast.
I don't know. I feel like I always have to really search for it. It never comes up. I'm not too sure. I always struggle to find it.
It's very hard. I don't know why.
It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah. So my podcast is just about like, you know, I guess all topics, not just nutrition. I started off as just nutrition, but like, you know, last week I had the motivation podcast. It's just like, usually I'll just have thoughts about what someone talks to me about this week or something that's on my mind. Cause I'm always thinking. So like, you know, I like to just do a quick 20-minute podcast, mine are quite quick, and just talk on a certain topic and kind of just break down the bullshit for a lot of people, you know, like I just kind of like to tell it like it is, straight to the point, and go from there. And since this week, there's also going to be the sports talk on there too. So there will be advice about running, you know, nutrition with running, like we've kind of talked about today, and just understanding about energy availability and stuff like that, which I think is actually important with runners too. Definitely. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff on there.
Fantastic.
I mean, like, I really appreciate you guys having me on, you know, it's fun to chat. And yeah, thank you so much for having me on again.
Thanks for your time.